CliffCentral.com.
All right, good morning, everybody. We are live. It is Wednesday. Damon Calvari is here, and Sia Sangweni, and me, and you. What's why are you looking so perplexed, Damon? What's going on? Are you? Is something confusing you?
Oh, no.
You look very worried.
One becomes very self-conscious when one knows one's live on YouTube. This is not the first time for me.
Okay.
And also, what happened as well, I've had a side pass for the last 8 years.
Yeah.
And recently, my wife said I look like a pedophile. So I've gone back to the middle. I've gone to the middle part.
No, I think
I was just trying to see whether the middle part is working better or not.
So
or maybe it's just the men.
Hang on a second. Who told you you look like a pedophile? Who said that to
you?
Your wife.
My wife. She said your hair is thinned out and the side part doesn't look so good anymore. Now, my father had the side part. I don't think my father ever looked like a pedophile.
No.
So I've gone back to the middle path. And I don't know what you think. I don't see. The thing is, I need a haircut. That's the issue. I think if I just had. If I had my Kim Jong-un haircut, which I had a couple of months ago, which I think worked well.
Yes.
Maybe I'll go. So I look like a North Korean dictator, which apparently that look is better than a pedophile. Does that make sense?
No, not really. It's I think, as you say, you just need a haircut because the I don't see the pedophile side parting connection. To me, those two are not necessarily the same thing. But there we go.
I go to my barber, this Indian guy, and I say to him, I want a 0 on the side and a 5 on top, and he's very hesitant. He's just, "Oh, you sure? Are you sure?" He asked me twice. I'm sure. And when he first did it, I got a bit of a shock, but it works. So, it's very in.
A 0 on the side means you don't want anything shaved off on the sides.
No, 0 is the grading on the razor where it's clean. But zero is still not 100%. It's not Kojak clean.
Because nobody knows. If you have a 0 on the sides, you're going to have hair like King Henry V. Have you ever seen a picture of what his hair looked like?
No.
Okay, I'll show you. I'll show you quickly, and then you'll get an idea. Because that's not a good look.
I'm familiar with King Henry VIII. He's the one who killed all his wives, right?
Yes, correct.
8 wives,
mm-hmm.
And he was huge. Apparently, his coffin was very, very wide.
Yes, he was.
I'm not familiar with King Henry V.
King Henry V had a very famous haircut. Let me see if I can find you a picture of it quickly, and then you'll get some idea of what I'm talking about. Yeah. Not a great look though, and that seems to me to have been what a 0 would look like. Let me show you this.
I had it a couple of months ago, and it kind of worked.
Okay, here's King Henry V. Are you ready? Look, there. That's the kind of hairstyle he
wore. Oh no! Ooh!
Oh wow!
That's not a good look.
Hey, I'm sure I've seen a hipster in Cape Town rock that before.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, Damon,
it's not too far off.
You know, I think since COVID and lockdown and everything, people have kind of ignored their look, maybe. But then maybe we're getting back into things. I'm not sure. Don't know.
Well,
we'll see.
I mentioned last week that I cheated on my hairdresser and went to a barber who just gave me a much more rudimentary haircut, but I like it because it's so easy to get ready in the mornings now. And the hairdresser, he was trying to do something where he was trying to make it longer in some places, and it just became, it was too much work. So now I've got to man up and go back to my hairdresser and explain why I've ruined months of hard work on his part.
Well, it's a relationship thing now. With the hairdresser, I think a barber's better because it's less conversation, it's cheaper, and they get straight to it.
Right.
With the hairdresser, it's almost like a social thing. There's the koch, the gossip, the stories.
Yeah, you see, I'm not really into that.
No. Well, then you must stick to the barber. Stick to the barber. I go to the barber. He's wonderful. He hardly speaks a word of English. He's got some funny channel on GCD playing on in the background.
Yes.
I think he's watching. I'm not sure. It's a soap opera. And all he can say is 60 rand.
Is he Turkish?
Doesn't that concern you that he's watching TV while working on your hair?
They're Indian. Well, the TV's behind me, but I kind of see him glance in the corner of his eye very occasionally. But he's, I think he does a decent job. But they only deal in cash. And I keep on forgetting that. So I always have to leave and drive to the ATM and then come back. Because who only works with cash these days? Anyway.
So
that's a little suspicious.
A lot of the comments this morning, very happy to see Damon Calvari. Robert Cunningham says, good to see you, Damon. And then Etienne says, oh. That's kind of like your, that's your thing. There's David who says, yay, some Damon madness to start the day. Sean says, good morning. Great to see Damon back. So you know what? People like you. Neurosis for breakfast. That's what they're saying. Very nice.
Well, no, that's very nice. But can I just, while we're on the topic of being unfaithful to a service provider,
yes.
I had a very awkward situation this last week and a half of it, but it was unavoidable. My daughter, okay. She's 8 years old. She complains that she's got a sore cheek. So I think very often she just is faking it, you know?
Yeah.
Malingering. But it turns out, so I took her to this dentist, and they said she needs root canal.
Oh, Jesus.
She needs root canal.
That's a big deal.
So I take her back the next day, and he says, no. She's not keeping her mouth wide enough. She's got to go for general anesthetic. I must book an appointment at some fancy schmancy clinic down the road, and she was coming for general anesthetic. So my wife says, no, this doesn't sound right. So I postpone the root canal, and I take it for a second opinion. I take it to another dentist. So I'm like, so this other dentist says, no, she doesn't need root canal. So now I've got to tell the first dentist, I had to cancel the root canal of the first dentist, but I didn't want to admit that I'm going for a second opinion. So now I'm at this crucial thing where I've got to write a friendly email to the first dentist to say, no, well, you know, to be honest, I went for a second opinion. My wife and I were not so keen on the general anesthetic, yada, yada, yada.
Uh-huh.
So anyway, but the thing is, I still got to go back to the second dentist because he did some fancy thing with the tooth. She's got to go back in 3 weeks' time. So she still might need the root canal. So anyway, it's all, what can you do? You got to do what's best for yourself and your child, I suppose. So I'm not going to feel guilty.
Well, Damon,
I know this is not relevant, but I can't see you guys. I can only see myself, eh?
No, that's fine. We've put you on. You're on the main screen. It's like you're the starring role at the moment. See that? That's what we can do now.
Are you two chopped liver? I mean, no, how does that work?
So we're still here. So all we do is we switch it like that, and then there you are. You see,
and the YouTube viewers, they just see me.
Yeah, it's like it's like a camera switcher on a TV show, so we can see.
They saw my new middle path.
Correct. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I was still trying to analyze it. I don't know, Damon. I kind of like your hair as it was.
Well, I'm going to go for a haircut.
Put it in the suggestion box.
Yeah. I just haven't had a chance to get away to get this haircut, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'll do it.
How's the family, Damon? How's Bernice? How's she doing?
You know, look, very well, very well. She works very hard. She's now a consultant, and she's got clients with work and that. So, things are improving a little bit. Well, I can shop a little bit more at Woolworths, a bit more than normal. But still only one car. We managed to pay the school fees, so things have improved a bit.
Oh, I must tell you a story. Yeah. Speaking of only one car,
yeah.
So one of our family friends, she was in a hurry and her car was getting really hot, so she drove in quickly at this place and she asked the guy. It wasn't a garage or anything. She just asked like one of the people who was there working, "Oh, please quickly put some water into the car because it's overheating." And then she ran into the shop to get something. And when she came out, she started the car and it just went boom. And the guy had put water into the oil instead of – yeah. So she doesn't have a car at the moment either. Can you imagine how frustrating that is?
No, but hang on.
Who did she trust? Who is this person that she asked?
Who put the water in the oil?
This guy, she asked this dude, he's from Malawi or whatever. And she said to him, just put some water in. But he, instead of putting the water into the water thing in the bonnet, he put it in straight into the engine in the oil compartment. So you imagine what that did.
She made the mistake I think she made the mistake of selecting somebody who doesn't actually work at the petrol station.
Well, it like wasn't.
You said it wasn't.
It wasn't at a petrol station, right? But she just thought, she assumed that people would know the difference between the water and the oil input, so she didn't know what to do.
Oh no!
Yeah,
no, it's, you know, it's the mother of all mistakes.
Well, this is it. And now, apparently, hold on, it's going to cost like 92,000 rand to fix that or something. And it's not even a fancy, it's not a fancy car. I don't know if insurance will pay because, you know, it's kind of, it's negligence. No, I don't think they will.
Mm. Wow. That's horrific.
Yeah.
What while I was in Durban a few weeks ago, I was with a friend who needed to start the car. And just seeing what a bonnet or like the inside of a bonnet looks like these days, that is a whole contraption.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust anyone who's in a professional with something like that. There's screws and bolts. And then when you have jumper cables on, supposedly you have to start with one particular side. Otherwise, if you start with another, the whole thing could go up in flames. That is not something you leave someone with as you casually go to the shops.
But the thing is, in an ideal utopian world, wouldn't it be amazing if you and I knew everything about cars? Mm. It would be such a life skill. It would help tremendously if you knew as much as a mechanic knew.
Well,
just imagine.
But this is the thing, right?
Your life
these days you don't actually have a mechanic who works on these things, because for example, my sister bought a new car in 2019, so it's a very new car, right? And these new models, she asked after about a week, she realized like she didn't have a service book in her car, and so she phoned the dealership that she bought it from, and they said, what model, what year? So she told them, and it was 2019, and the woman started laughing. She said, oh, no, those cars don't have a manual, a service manual, a service book anymore. It's all electronic. So it stores it on the computer in the car, and you wouldn't know how to fix anything in that car. You would need, like, a computer to attach to it. That's the only way to kind of get into the innards of it. So it's now almost like mechanics have to also be masters of IT and almost like electrical engineers more than they are mechanics. That's an amazing development.
Yes, but isn't that also generally speaking mainly for more high end kind of cars?
Well,
like a Schlenzer like me that's going to get a car, it'll still be your normal car with an engine without computers.
A who like you? A Schlenzer.
Schlenzer.
Well, the direct translation of Schlenzer, it's a Yiddish word. If you find a fault in a diamond, that fault is called a Schlenzer. But if you use it as an attribute towards a person's character, that person is a Schlenzer. Like it's a bit of also a self-deprecating kind of term where you say I'm a Schlenzer, or you can say that Schlenzer.
You know? I love that. I didn't know about the diamond thing. That's a great explanation. You see, we're learning new things.
No, when you have very elderly parents, you know these things. These things are getting lost, you know? It's a dying language.
Sadly.
Funnily enough, it's not a dying language. Funnily enough, there's actually places now in South Africa where you can learn Yiddish. They're trying to keep it alive. But in terms of it actually being like certain, like there's no Yiddish newspapers kind of thing or Yiddish books, generally speaking, anymore. But they're trying to revive Yiddish. But did you actually know that before the State of Israel was founded in 1948, Hebrew was actually a dead language? Hebrew was not spoken as a daily language anymore.
Really?
Did you know that? It was used as a language in prayer, in the prayer books, in the Siddur and the Torah. It was used as a language. But as an everyday daily language, it had died. So they made Hebrew the official language of Israel. You know,
that's pretty amazing. I didn't know that, and I'm always amazed when people are able to find these old languages. Like I found a clip on YouTube the other day from a movie where they decided to do some real historical research, and they made the Romans in this movie. They made these Romans speak ancient Latin, the way it would have sounded in, you know, 14 AD or whatever. That's pretty amazing.
Well, that Nobel laureate, Mel Gibson, when he did that movie.
Yes, Aramaic.
They did Aramaic.
Passion of the Christ. That's it.
You had to do a lot of reading in that movie, and there was a lot of blood and a spit in the. That was hectic.
I haven't thought about that movie in a while, and what a big hoopla it did in the Christian community.
Well, we all remember because that was the same time where Gareth got into trouble on radio. He made a thing about Jesus at the same time.
Yeah.
And then he was brought before PSA. Yeah. So that makes it all. I interviewed Jesus.
I
distinctly remember my. Yes, and that was the problem. I remember listening
now,
to that.
What's interesting now in Brazil. In the south of Brazil, they're trying to build a new Christ that's going to be bigger than the one in Rio de Janeiro.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to myself, it's 2021. Let's just acknowledge or admit or try and see that Christ didn't necessarily look like that.
Yeah.
You know? So they're building this new one, but come on. You know?
Christ would have looked like a Sephardic Jew.
Basically, he probably was a Sephardic Jew. Yeah. I mean, he stayed at home until he was 36. He worked for his father. That's a very old joke. Very old joke. Please forgive me.
Oh, man.
I'm staying out of that one now.
All right, so here are a couple of points on the car situation. Ruth says, this is Ruth who argues with Damon regularly. Gareth, wait, was this not a garage? Why was this not a garage? People need to stop making assumptions. There's a lesson in that. Yeah, all right. Well, that's all good and well after the fact, Ruth, but you might have thought people might know things as well. Tracy says, it should be a subject at school. Life skills. How to do tax, how to do a CV, how to change a tire, how to know the difference between different venomous snakes, what to do when there's an earthquake. I agree with you. I think there should be a subject like that. Instead, we make kids learn useless stuff at school. Yeah.
Well, the last earthquake in South Africa was, I think, in Tulbagh in 1965. So maybe the earthquake isn't too much of a concern in South Africa.
Yeah, but in places where it is, you need to know to stand in the doorway rather than, you know, hide under a flimsy
table. People have got
to
know.
People have got to know.
Yeah.
You see, I even know that, and I don't live in an earthquake area. Like, if you feel tremors and you live in a country where there are, like, massive tectonic events, then you need to know to stand in a doorway. That's the safest place to be.
I wonder if that's still up to date. I wonder whether that particular doorway advice is still relevant. Because sometimes you have advice from 40, 50 years ago, and it hasn't been updated. And maybe the doorways aren't built at the same quality like they used to be built. We need to consider that as well, eh?
I mean, 70 to 75 years ago, when nuclear war between USA and Russia was a big issue on people's minds. They used to tell school kids, if the nuclear signal, if the emergency alarm for the nuclear thing goes off, you must just get under your desks and cover your head. Like, that's going to help you.
Yeah, exactly.
You are ticked. Yeah.
Wait for the flash.
Yeah. Lenise says, old cars were so much easier. I learned a lot about cars back then. I could run start my own car. I just had to park on a starter hill. Yeah, I remember that, when you could run start a car. You can't do that, I don't think, with a lot of these new ones. Harold says, what car is it? 92K sounds too much coming from a mechanic, unless it's a Land Rover, a high-performance engine. It's not a fancy car at all. That's what she was told. But I suppose maybe she should do what Damon did with his daughter and get a second opinion on her teeth. You know, get a second opinion on the engine of the car, which has been ruined by the water in the oil opening.
Well, the thing is, nowadays it's a bit of a racket. You buy a new car and you get the 5-year warranty, so you've got to take the car to the official dealership.
Yeah.
But then nowadays you go to these mechanics who work from home, and if you get a good one, they're a hell of a lot cheaper. Hell of a lot cheaper.
Tracy just wants
who works
to.
From home.
Mechanic who works from home, yeah. You get those.
Yeah.
You get mechanics who've got like a garage with all the equipment that they need in it. Tracy says there was an earthquake in Cape Town in January, Damon. So just to update your records.
Tracy, yes, but not an official one where bridges were falling down. It happened a couple of hundred kilometers off the coast, like near Algalas, and there was just tremors felt.
Algalas. What is Algalas?
Four on the Richter. It was four on the Richter scale.
What's Algalas?
Algalas.
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 Okay.
Algalas.
Okay. Settle down. Sorry, I like that. It's one of your things. It's like when CS, who used to do our sport, what did we get him to say that word that he got McKine. Wrong? McKine. That's right. I said to him.
Yeah, but there was a trick to it. We tricked him. Yes. I can't remember the trick.
The trick was that I said to him, read the following things. So I held up a sign that said McDonald. So he read it. So then I made him read, hey, Alexa. Alexa's talking.
Alexa,
to you.
Alexa, don't worry. You're just on YouTube. Not serious.
So I'm sorry to hear about your teeth, Alexa.
Garrett said he's sorry to hear about your teeth. Okay. Tell mommy to do your lunch. I can't do your lunch. She wants me to do her lunch. Please wake her up and do the lunch. And don't forget the other medication, the antibiotic. Remind your mother.
All right,
and wake her up.
So what we did is we held up a thing that said McDonald's. So he went McDonald. Then we held up one that said McGillis. So he read McGillis. And then we put up one that said McHine. And instead of saying machine, he said McHine.
Yeah.
So we did trick him. Brilliant. It was very good, though. All right. So, Damon, while we're talking about and reminiscing about the good old days, I had some very funny things. We've got a group. I've got a group with Damon and Leanne and Mabali and Tabo and Sias. And
Tabo's never there.
Tabo, well, he'll comment occasionally, but not a lot. He never commented in real life that much either, if you recall. So
so it's true to character.
Yeah, Tabo's at least consistent. But do you remember when they gave us those SABC towels? There was an anti-corruption week at the SABC, and they actually gave us as a corporate gift. They gave everybody on the staff these towels. Let me show you what they looked like, because I mean, this is hilarious. So And I found mine the other day, and I use it as a hand towel in the guest bathroom. I think it's hilarious because it says, "Let me just
wash away fraud and corruption."
Yes.
Sure.
It says wash away fraud and corruption, and then it gives the number for whistleblowers. And it says fraud, anti-fraud and corruption week. It was what year? 2010 or 2012 or something?
2013.
I think it says 2013. Wasn't 2013 the most corrupt week or the most corrupt year of all the years?
That's right. I mean, I think that was a very bad year for them. But isn't that hilarious? The SABC have issued this towel in the year 2013 for us all so that we would we could wash away all the dirty, filthy corruption from our hands. Isn't that brilliant?
I'm almost sure that was Cloudy Musaneng's, one of his years.
No, he wasn't.
Cloudy was there. Cloudy was there the last 2 years. We left in 2014. Cloudy was there. I remember.
I don't know that he was in charge, though, because he was there, but he wasn't important yet. I mean, he wasn't like.
Oh yes, you're right. No, you're right. He became CEO, or more important, I think shortly after we left, and then he made them do 90% local music. That was funny.
That's hilarious. So I don't know what they give out as corporate gifts now. I can't imagine they give anything, but I just thought it was so funny. Like who was sitting in a meeting? Because that must have, you know, to issue one of those to every member of staff, and there were thousands of people who worked at the SABC. It must have cost them a huge amount of money. Yeah. So you imagine the meeting where they were all sitting there, and someone went, "You know what I'm thinking? I'm thinking we should hand out towels with wash away fraud and corruption on them."
Great idea!
Incredible.
Sign it off. Thousands of towels we go. Yeah. And what a moving and inspiring message that is.
And did anything else come with the towel? Mm-mm. Maybe it's. A bar of soap.
I can't
nothing
remember.
Like that.
I don't remember now, but that must have been massive, like fraud and corruption itself. Because in order to make, I reckon that the people who made those charged like you know, 10 times what they cost to make the tiles. And therefore, even in Fraud and Corruption Week, there was like someone scalping money off the top because they were making these tiles at a huge profit. And thousands of them. It's just so clever. It's so, I mean, you know, crooks will always find a way, hey. Never underestimate the crook.
What a place.
Anyway,
and the fact that you still have that towel, though, is funny.
I think it's hilarious. So when people, because I do, I put it out when I know someone with a sense of humor is coming to visit, and I leave it in the guest bathroom, and then invariably they'll wash their hands and go like, that towel is hilarious. And I'll say to them, no, but it was a real thing. They were being serious. They weren't joking when they gave that to us. So Damon, we have this group that I mentioned earlier, and it kind of comes to life every now and then, and it's hilarious when it does, and then it goes away for a while because like we're not all talking to each other all the time, but it is funny.
Exactly.
And you and Leanne actually made friends the last time you were on there.
It was quite remarkable.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether I've been set up or not.
No.
She said, Damon, I think we could actually be good pen pals. We must never meet or be in contact with each other or be in the same room. But I've always admired your intellect. But as long as I'm not in your space, I think we could be good pen pals.
Okay.
And then I thought, who makes the first move? You know, I'm worried that I'm going to send her something. Hello, Leanne. And then she'll say, Nah, I was just joking, you just. God, you're desperate, pathetic. So then I actually forgot about it, to be honest.
Because well,
you're so needy, get a life.
By my recollection, you don't really have an issue with Leanne, Damon. It's just the fact that somehow everything you do and say annoys her.
Yeah, I'm just scared she's gonna backfire. She's gonna explode at me, or I send a message and she totally ignores me. Because the thing is, I wished her happy birthday on social media, and she's never responded. But which isn't necessarily an indication. No, you don't always get a response like so and so liked your happy birthday greeting. But she's not really that active on social media, I suppose.
No, she used to be. But, I mean, like a lot of us, we've, you know, it's not our favorite place to hang out anymore. You're on Twitter a lot, huh? Apparently you called Sia because, there was this horrible story yesterday in the news, and we've got to get to headlines, but this is worth throwing in just before the headlines. There's this old Gogo, and her surname happens to be Sangweni, and she's not related to Sia, but I thought the same thing anyway. She had dementia and she was set upon by these two criminals. And I think they burnt her to death. It was here in Johannesburg.
Oh, my God.
Horrible, horrible story. But apparently you sent the story to Sia. And then afterwards, before, like you should have maybe asked this beforehand, but you sent the story to him. And then afterwards, after you guys had been talking about it, Sia says to me, you eventually said, oh, my God, Sangweni, I hope she's not related to you, and that wasn't insensitive.
Not entirely.
Jesus.
I said, I hope this isn't – is this a relative? And then 5 minutes later, I hope not. Because we actually did have an incident at 5FM some years ago.
Yes.
Where there was a guy with a psychiatric problem. He had an axe, and he literally butchered two or three people to death. I think he actually beheaded them, like King Henry VIII with Anne Boleyn.
That's right, in Pretoria.
His surname was the same as Poppy's, in Shongwana.
Yeah.
So I, live on air, I joked, oh, I hope it's not a relative. I wonder if it's a relative of Poppy's.
Yeah.
Truth God, it was a relative.
Yeah.
So then we got an email. I think they sent the management sent the email to you, and then you forwarded it to me, and Poppy's upset. Will you? Damon just sent an apology. So I sent an apology, yada, yada, yada. And
would have thought that would have been your lesson?
Well, you know what? You know what?
He's just done it again, by the way. He's just done it again. You've learned nothing.
Damn it, I should have gone with it a little, going, yes, that's my aunt. And we're attending her funeral this Saturday.
Sure. I wonder what would you have said? Oh, it's Alexa's back.
Okay, sorry, guys. Alexa's back. What do you say?
Oh,
it's a teaspoon.
Oh,
she got to be on antibiotics now.
Okay.
So it's a teaspoon of moxicillin.
Are you the primary parent?
No studio etiquette, hey?
No. Are you the primary parent?
I think so, hey?
Oh.
I think so. It's turned out that way.
What do they call it? The primary caregiver or something, right?
I think I am, yes. Oh,
all right. Well done. Yes. I mean, that's who knew you would be so responsible?
I said to Alexa, listen, Alexa, mommy's taking you to the bus stop tomorrow because I'm going to be on Gareth's show. She says, oh, it's going to be a disaster.
She knows exactly what she's talking about. All right, I want to get on to some other stuff, and I know Damon and Sia have got a bunch of things on their agenda too, but we've got to talk about some of the headlines this morning, so let's take a quick look at those. First of all, Eskom has warned of a constrained power grid. Oh, surprise, surprise. How is this even news? These guys are, you know, we just know that at some point we're going to have power problems, and the country's been saddled with stage 2 blackouts between 9 p.m. last night and 5 a.m. this morning, with the utility blaming a shortage of generation capacity. So I know I didn't have my lights off because I've got that light in my bedroom that comes on after load shedding. So I know when there has been load shedding. It was just wired strangely, I suppose, when the electrician put it in. If there's been load shedding, it comes on. So I know if I've had load shedding, and clearly it didn't affect my neighborhood last night.
Well, I discovered a tragic, terrible thing about load shedding, which I never knew about.
Mm-hmm.
My IT guy that comes and fixes our computers, he informs me that my lovely 18,000 Rand iMac, its hard drive is on the blink. It's about to break down.
Uh-oh.
So I say to him, how does that happen? He says to me, well, if you don't log out properly, if you don't shut down properly. So guess what? It's because of load shedding.
Of course.
That my computer... I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I am so upset. But what's worse is we're on a prepaid meter as well.
Oh.
So that's also a disaster. We wait until our electricity goes off. Big mistake. You got to
I've got one of those old iMacs as well, and it's the same thing. It's not working properly anymore, and that explains you've just explained my problem without me even knowing it.
Yeah.
So that's irritating.
Apparently it's about 4,000 Rand for a new hard drive. Oof. And only one company will actually install. You can't get somebody to do it for you. You've got to go to a certain place. I can't remember their names. And it'll cost 4 or 5 grand.
Sure.
But maybe it's worth it. I don't know. Anyway.
It is said that 3 generating unions tripped at the aging power plant, while 3 others had not yet returned to service as planned. It's just such a mess at Eskom. It really is. They said they're working to bring them back online, promised to keep the country informed of any significant changes in the grid. I will say that they have become a little bit better about letting people know when the electricity is going to go off. You know, they warn us a little bit now.
Well, they're very experienced.
I mean, they gave us like 2 hours yesterday. I don't think that's absolutely amazing.
Okay, well, I'm trying to look for a silver lining and you guys are not helping me.
Very difficult to find one.
Yeah. Apparently,
when they use the term aging power station, I'm thinking aging power station. Well, I mean, like you got to throw it in some Salusa 45.
The South African Poultry Association has on Tuesday confirmed a bird flu outbreak. H5 avian influenza has been established at a chicken farm in the East Rand in Gauteng. The association's Isak Breitenbach said that the situation was being contained on one farm and was closely being monitored. We've had a positive influenza outcome yesterday. I don't know if he sounds like that. I'm just assuming. We do not know if it is a high pathogenic influenza or a low pathogenic influenza. But that's great news. While we're already dealing with coronavirus, now we have to have H5 bird flu.
Are all these birds wearing masks?
Well, exactly.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't imagine it really, especially little yellow chickens.
And you can't do social distancing with a huge amount of chickens, eh?
No, definitely not. The state capture inquiry will now issue a summons to compel Norma Ngoma to testify. Ngoma is the former finance minister, Malusi Gigaba's wife, And she has withdrawn her participation. Now, she was gung-ho. She was ready to testify in front of the State Capture Commission. She was excited to do it. She was going to tell us about the bags of money that Malusi Gigaba used to go to the Guptas and receive, the suits that he would buy. She was going to give us the inside track, Norma. And now she's suddenly pulled out. She's decided she doesn't want to talk after all. She was due to give evidence yesterday, and her attorney has read a letter to the commission explaining why she decided not to testify.
We all thought that she wanted the limelight, chance for attention.
Yeah. But now
maybe her attorney advised her.
Yeah, I think they found that maybe she might be implicating herself in something.
Oh, she did.
Which we called right at the
maybe
beginning.
Maybe the wanking will come up. You never know. It could be the wanking.
You're right.
There was that video that went out to see her. You look a bit puzzled, and he was choking the chicken, milking the goose, whatever the expression is.
Yeah,
I don't think that's very important to the State Capture Inquiry,
exactly.
As opposed maybe, to where the money lies.
Yes, but you know, it's like you got to show your face in public after that came out. It's like, you know.
That was when they were having that very public spat. Remember, she found out he was cheating just like the rest of us did. And those text messages and all the pictures and all the video came out. It was very embarrassing. Anyway, turns out that she needs to be compelled to give evidence. So she's going to be forced to appear before the State Capture Commission anyway. You can't tell the State Capture Commission, I'm coming, and then let them down. They will force you.
So is she going to be on the phone with Zuma this morning or Jacob Zuma's lawyers to get advice? How do I not appear? Kind of, you know, that kind of thing.
She's got her own lawyers, and I don't think she's got any chance of not appearing. By the way, Jacob Zuma lost an important case this week where he now has to pay his own legal fees. We don't have to pay his legal fees, which is great news. Some 16 million rand it has cost him.
Million wrong.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. So there's another headline that you could be pleased about this morning is you don't have to pay his legal fees. Joe Biden is going to address the U.S. Congress to mark his first 100 days in office. It will not technically be a State of the Union address, but he's going to deliver a speech to a joint session of Congress to explain how they're making progress with his administration, how they're dealing with the coronavirus pandemic, their economic woes, all this trillions and trillions of dollars that they've been borrowing. So he said he's going to make an address on the 28th of April to talk about the challenges and opportunities of what he calls this historic moment. So I'm sure you can't wait.
Do you think he'll advertise? Does anybody want to adopt these 40,000 Mexican children? Maybe he'll put up a like a big board.
Yeah,
do you want these children? Because they can't find the parents.
Maybe he'll just release them from the cages that he's put them in. Who knows? But that's a good point, Damon. Maybe he should be forced to do something about them. Anyway, the defense has begun for Officer Derek Chauvin in the murder trial of George Floyd. You know, the George Floyd murder, which has been on TV. I must be honest with you, I haven't watched a lot of it. And I'm not into these trials. You know, I never really watched the OJ one. I never really watched the Oscar one every day. I mean, it was in the news, so you couldn't avoid it. But I'm not really one for the detail of these trials. It's one of the reasons I didn't become I didn't want to become a lawyer for that reason. I don't find it all that compelling.
I was glued to it like the first one or two days.
Yeah.
But then after that, I lost interest. It got a bit much. Because to me, it's an open and shut case, but they're dragging it up.
How can you say it's an open and shut case? Explain. Like, what do you know that the rest of us don't? Why do they have to go through all of this when you know already what the outcome must be?
Look, listen, that was hyperbole. It was an exaggeration. But to me, obviously, I'm not a lawyer. Obviously, I'm not an expert. I'm just a layman. It just feels that it's a very obvious case. He was murdered, and they're just dragging it out like a lot more than I imagined they would drag it out. It's like they're really going to intricate details. Like they had a paramedic. They had this witness who happened to be a qualified fire person, but she also has some paramedic qualifications. And when she started testifying, they spent about half an hour discussing her qualifications. It's just It just drags on, and you think to yourself, "Whoa, these lawyers are obviously getting paid per hour." It just really drag. I just didn't realize how much it would drag on for. That's what I'm trying to say. To me, it's obvious he was murdered. That's all I'm saying.
But you know what, you do know what murder is, right? I mean, murder is it's killing someone with intent where you're found to have done so without any reasonable doubt. There cannot be any reasonable doubt. So are you still sure that you think this is an open and shut case and you think this is an easy one to...
No. There's obviously... I get your point. Maybe culpable homicide, but in America they call it manslaughter. Perhaps manslaughter is more suitable in this case. But if you watch the video, I suppose manslaughter is more appropriate.
Yeah, and you...
But we'll see.
You don't find it interesting that he had... 3 times the lethal dose of fentanyl in his system at the time, and that there are videos of him behaving very strangely just before the arrest when he
irrelevant.
Was in that shop. You don't think that's relevant? I mean, you don't. That's not relevant?
Completely irrelevant. Sure. It's relevant to a tiny, tiny degree. You can't sit on someone's neck for 9.5 minutes. It's as simple as that.
Well, I'm just...
And people are shouting, "He can't breathe, he can't breathe, he can't breathe, he's not moving." And the policeman just didn't care. They didn't give a shit.
You don't think you don't think it was interesting that he was shouting, "I can't breathe," before he was even under the policeman's knee? I'm not saying that this Derek Chauvin didn't do the right, didn't do the wrong thing. I mean, I do believe that, you know, he probably did the wrong thing, but is he guilty of murder? You see, these things do matter, Damon. It's not...
That's why I'm leaning more towards manslaughter, which we call culpable homicide in South Africa. Let me just shuckle the antibiotic bottle while we... Anyway,
for anybody who's listening and doesn't know what's going on, Damon is currently administering antibiotic to his daughter. She's come into the room a few times. She's had to ask him to help make her lunch. So you know, he's the primary caregiver. So,
he's in the fridge,
and now he's currently telling her where everything must go. And I can't believe how big she is, Damon. She's grown up so quickly.
She'll be 9 on the 21st. Please forgive our poor studio etiquette.
That's fine.
This case, study / dining room etiquette.
Right. I got you.
Okay.
So Carl says, peeling the cucumber, I think we must now submit all variants of masturbation euphemism, because there were a couple of masturbation euphemisms that Damon used earlier. Choking the chicken, I think, was the one you used, Damon. So Carl says, how about peeling the cucumber? He says that's also a good one. He likes using that.
I've never heard that.
I haven't
never
either.
Heard that.
Okay.
Many years ago, I heard butter your millie.
Yes. Now, I don't know if you heard about this. By the way, Chris T says, again, Damon is a walking encyclopedia of wrong facts.
Oh, amazing. Wow.
Just quickly, Damon, while we're talking about all these coronavirus related things, because we were earlier, you see that they've pulled out the Johnson & Johnson vaccine from circulation.
What a bunch of idiots.
You think they're idiots?
Absolute arseholes. Six cases of clotting in 6.8 million doses. Absolutely insane. It doesn't make any sense. Also, the coronavirus itself causes clotting in a lot of cases as well. That's what kills people half the time. Second of all, they need to examine those six cases. Maybe it was women between the ages of 18 and 45. Maybe they were on hormone replacement therapy. Maybe they weren't healthy in the first place with clotting. I've got clotting problems for crying in a bucket. Really? No, it doesn't make any sense. It's silly. And now the health minister, Zweli Mkhize, says we need to do some further studies. You don't need to do further studies. It's there. Six cases of clotting in 6.8 million doses.
But Damon, weren't you one of the people who said at the beginning of coronavirus, you know, one person who dies is too many?
Yeah, I did say that.
Okay, so now it's suddenly if someone six in 6 million people.
You can't be dogmatic. You got to be prepared. You got to be flexible.
But
you got to.
When I said to you all those months ago that the number of people who are going to die from this thing is going to be much, much smaller than they predict. You were like, no, but one life is too many and you can't say that and you've got to care about people's health. That was why we locked down. We locked down because all of these people were going to die, all 50,000 of them.
There's an exception. No, Gareth, there's an exception to everything. You're giving an example of a scenario. This is a different scenario. It's apples and pears. It's not the same thing. There's always an exception. In this particular case, six people out of 6.8 million doses is far smaller than what would happen if people didn't take the dose. It's as simple as that.
And you accept that 94% of all the people who died of COVID had other diseases and comorbidities as well, right?
I don't know that for a fact, but that is a possibility.
It's very, very likely. And in fact, the statistics would bear me out on that. But, you know, one life's too many. I'm just going to hold you to your own standard. That's all. You were the one who said that.
Yes, but there are exceptions. Look, I can also bring up things that you've said in the past I'm not going to bring up. You said it's nothing worse than the flu.
I think I was right in terms of the numbers. I think
it's 25 times more deadly than the flu. So come on. The other day you said that doctors aren't bothering to wear masks anymore. I mean, come on. Hey, you gave me a front.
I don't know. I have forgot.
Damon's daughter's back. Now. All right.
The bus is arriving. You've got to go now. Sorry.
Ay, ay, ay. Ruth is saying, Gareth, do you need help? I think she means with dealing with Damon this morning. No, I think I'll be all right. Anyway.
Do you know that Ruth has her own podcast? It's on YouTube.
Everyone has a podcast, right?
It's called Rebellious Ruth.
Yeah.
And she says a lot of people enjoy her podcast.
Okay, well, good for you. Yeah. Very, very good. All right. So, Damon, I don't know if you've ever done this, but I need to ask you because – I've now seen enough of these things online to really have. I reckon we need a law against them. I'm talking about
you can't switch off the lights.
Ay, ay, ay.
Can you switch off the lights?
This Bernice.
There we go. Here's a Bernice shot. He could have muted himself.
What happened, Damon? What happened?
Ay. Bernice switches off the lights. Can you believe it?
Yeah, but she doesn't care about anyone but herself.
Shit, in this particular case. Yeah, unbelievable. Sorry about that.
Yeah, your wife. I mean, listen, I don't know how you manage. I really don't. So what I want to talk about is these gender reveal parties. You know, someone was killed the other day in America. Because in this gender reveal thing, you know, they always have.
Reveal party?
Well, they've started fires. You remember last year there was a story about a fire that started in California because someone had some gender reveal party and it ended up setting fire to the open plot next door because they had fireworks of a certain color.
Oh, right.
And then the whole mountain burnt down and like someone's house burnt down, all because they wanted to reveal that they were going to have a boy or a girl, or I don't even remember what it was. And there was a news story just 2 weeks ago about someone who was about to light a firework to reveal whether or not they were going to have a boy or a girl, and it ended up going off in their face, and they ended up dying from burn injuries. I really think we should ban these. Nobody, even the parents, don't care as much about this stuff as everybody thinks they do. And you know what? You're going to find out anyway. It's not like it's going to stay a surprise forever. I think these gender reveals are stupid.
Is it a thing in South Africa, really?
Oh, I've seen a few of them. I was complaining about someone I know with a gender reveal. You should have seen this gender reveal. And it's mostly for the girls. I don't know that the guys are really into it. You know, it's just another excuse for the girls to get together and celebrate, you know, being pregnant and having a kid. And, you know, that's praiseworthy. I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But then just have a party. You don't need to have a gender reveal where you have, you know, all the decorations are of a certain color and, you know, you've got like ribbons up every tree on the driveway and you have a blue smoke and you have balloons and you have a Lilo in the pool of a particular color. I mean, it's just a waste of money. I mean, and it's just outrageous.
Don't mind.
Somebody sent us a video So this lady, this woman, she's pregnant. She videoed her husband, and she did a gender reveal, kind of jumping through the hoops thing with him, where he had to open a box and read the instructions and do this and do that. And eventually he opened it up and it said a girl or a boy or whatever. And I could just see he was like, disappointed.
Oh no.
No, not disappointed. I could just see he's thinking to himself, what the hell did I marry? I could see he was unimpressed.
So
it's just,
was he unimpressed? He was unimpressed by the whole show that she put on.
Exactly. Yeah. By the whole show. Just be grateful you have a baby and it's healthy and just, it's not important. The gender is not important. Really, man. Pull yourself together.
I mean, if it isn't harming anyone or if it isn't
somebody was
inconveniencing
anyone.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
He said a house was burnt down and a man was killed.
I complete my sentence. If it isn't harming anyone, if it isn't inconveniencing anyone, then go for gold. Do that. Gareth, I think those things that you were complaining about are cute. Put something in the tree and put something in the pool. And if you don't want to go and if you think it's annoying, then don't attend or don't do it.
I think you're going to harm somebody. I think you're going to harm somebody and annoy somebody every time, I think. Yeah,
how so?
I saw a very funny. Listen to this. There's this hilarious picture going around of this really funny gender reveal, and the woman and her very preppy white husband are standing next to each other, and one of their black friends, who's a guy, is standing just behind her, and then, you know, she lights the thing, and then it ends up being black smoke, and then the black friend is like, oh, because it's his kid that's coming, not the white guy's kid. That would be funny. I'd go to that gender reveal. That would be funny. It's not a gender reveal. A race reveal.
Or you jump on the husband and you cable tie him and you put your knee on the back of his neck and you say, Jesus. Boy or girl. And then he says, I can't breathe. I don't care. You're going to find out what gender your child was.
Well, hey, I keep thinking, like, maybe, you know, maybe if they'd had a race reveal for Meghan Markle's child, then maybe we wouldn't have all this shit with Oprah and the interview and Prince Philip dying and Harry having to go back. I mean, if they just brought out like a color chart and placed bets on what shade of white or brown Meghan's baby might be, you know.
You watched the show that Meghan Markle was on, right?
Yeah, I watched.
You watched it. Did you even know back then that she was multi?
No.
Exactly. Did you know that Herschel Gibbs apparently wasn't white? Did you even know that?
No. Damon, you've gone quiet. I don't know what's happened to you. You've muted yourself.
You know what? I muted myself. So while I was exasperated, and I hit the mouse, and the mouse was on mute. Got to be careful about that. Yeah, sorry about that. Yes. You know, it's just like, we don't even, if the person doesn't even look black, why even go there? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to some people, it's really important. And I love the way it's always like, you know, like Barack Obama's a black guy, even though one of his parents is as white as, you know, a Norwegian.
Yeah, but he does look black. He does look black.
Yes, but what I'm saying is he never chooses to identify as white, despite being half of each. But what I'm saying is, like, if white is the privileged one that everybody says gets good treatment and black is the one that's always oppressed, why do people who are mixed race always, if they could identify, like Meghan Markle could have identified as white and we wouldn't have known any of this bullshit, why didn't she? You know, like, you remember during apartheid, like there were a lot of people who were mixed race who had themselves registered or they chose to identify or the government classified them as white. And there used to be huge things in families because some members of the family were darker than other members of the family. I mean, we've talked about this on the show before.
Well, the thing is, I don't know the history 100% accurately, but we don't actually know for sure back in the day when Meghan Markle was just an actress in Hollywood, what she identified herself as. Do we know? I don't know. But in the case of a Barack Obama, you can't escape the fact that he doesn't look white. So he has to identify himself as black because People would have laughed at it.
I know, but what I'm saying is, like, he could – these days, I mean, Rachel Dolezal, do you remember that woman? She was a white woman who chose to identify as a black person, and she made a mockery of the whole thing, but she herself has all kinds of mental health issues.
She was a lunatic.
Yeah, but I'm saying so.
I still stand by. She's not a lunatic. She's. I'll back her until the cows come home and until go through in the face.
See,
absolutely.
Didn't you try to?
She was the head of the NAACP in her district.
Yeah.
How she pulled
she's
that
down with the black.
It's just amazing.
So, Sia,
didn't
you try to get her for an interview for the show?
Tried to get her for an interview on the show, tried to go to her talk when she was in the country,
yes.
Tried to reach her through her website and through Netflix with the documentary. I bought her book. I think I'm one of 17 people who still own that book. Look, it has a prized place in my bookshelf. Rachel, I still back her.
Yeah. Well, Annika agrees with me about these reveal parties. She says, I don't know why they have these reveal parties. These people will probably convince their kids that they're trans when they're not. Well, that's another thing is like, if your kid is revealed to be a girl and then like 10 years later, they identify as a boy or whatever, because that's happening more and more in America at the moment, then, you know, are they going to be upset with the parents for having had a gender reveal in the first place? Because those same parents, if they, you know, really are politically correct, they shouldn't assign a gender to their kid. You know what I mean?
Oi, this whole thing with not assigning genders.
It's crazy, right?
And not using certain pronouns.
Yeah.
Whoa, people have flipped their lids, eh?
Yeah.
People have flipped their lids.
I'm afraid it's gone crazy.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. All right, well, it's 7 o'clock already. We'll come back with a whole lot more. I've got some emails I want to get to just now. We're going to speak to Sean Saunders at Revix just now about what's going on with Bitcoin. Is flying $64,000 a Bitcoin this morning. It's just unreal. Anybody who didn't buy when we were telling you to buy some, you know, even at the beginning of this year, you're going to be kicking yourself because the rise in price is just extraordinary. And a lot of people are saying it's going to go up. You know, people who know way more than me are saying it's going to go up to 100,000 to more, even more than that before the end of this year. So let's see what happens. Okay, lots of good stuff to come. CliffCentral.com, stick around. We got Damon Calvari with us. We've got C.S. Angweni. We've got you and me. And there's plenty on the way. Stick around. CliffCentral.com.